Welcome to another episode of the Social Media Church Podcast, the place for conversations with church leaders about social media. And this is episode number 83. My name is DJ Chuang, and on this episode, you hear my conversation with Kevin Hendricks. He's the editorial director at churchmarketingsucks.com, which is a blog of the Center for Church Communications, and they are embarking on their 10th anniversary. Can you believe that? That is ancient when it comes to dot-com times. And we talk about the role of church communications, where social media fits in, and how do you coordinate all the different channels of communication today, and the growing need for directors of communication in churches, and what size you might want to consider having that role. And listen closely after my conversation with Kevin. I will be providing you, my social media church listeners, with a special discount code for the event called the Intensive Certification Lab, a two-day event in June of 2014. Or you can just fast forward towards the end of the episode and listen in on that opportunity. Great training for directors of church communication. Here's my conversation with Kevin Hendricks. Okay, on the Social Media Church Podcast today, I'm joined with Kevin Hendricks. He's out in the middle of Minnesota, and I'm over here in California. We're connecting through Skype, courtesy of Microsoft. And today we wanted to have a deeper look at the whole background of church communications and the valuable resource that Kevin's been a part of, a network, a center called Center for Church Communication. They've recently published a book. They also published a blog called Church Marketing Sucks, and we just want to pull back the curtains and take a look and learn from Kevin and what they're seeing in the evolution, and it really is an evolution, a fast evolution of church communication. Kevin, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me, DJ. Great to be here.
So give us a background for how Center for Church Communication came about.
It's kind of funny because it actually goes back to 10 years ago this week. We're recording this in the middle of April. And so 10 years ago, there was a meeting in Los Angeles that Brad Hebert kind of hosted, and I was there, and some other designers and some people Brad worked with were there. And we were talking about kind of this new idea for trying to kind of wanting to serve churches and reach out to the ministry world and kind of figure out a way to do that. And we were basically wanting to launch kind of a church communications company that would do, you know, graphic design and marketing services for churches, and wanting to figure out how to do this and how to position it and how to make the whole thing work. And out of that idea came this thought to do Church Marketing Sucks, to have this place to talk about you know, how communication is broken and how bad churches are communicating and how we want to see them do it better. That's kind of where the whole idea started from. And it initially wasn't just going to be a blog. We wanted to do a book. And we thought, well, we'll start with a blog and we can gather things together. And eventually, you know, 6 months down the road, tops, we'll put out a book, no problem. 10 years later, we've never really written that book. and interestingly enough, the whole idea that prompted this of doing a company to sell services, that kind of went away pretty quickly too. But back then it was going to be the Center for Church Communication was going to be this company, and then we'd have kind of Church Marketing Sucks. And as we set out to do it, we quickly realized that Church Marketing Sucks was where the conversation was at. That's what was helping people. And the kind of for-profit company, I'm not even sure if it was making a profit, but that really wasn't getting traction. And we kind of said, forget that, turned it into a nonprofit, and decided let's forget selling services. Let's just help people communicate better. Let's keep doing the blog and let's talk about, church marketing and church communication, and kind of all the ways that, you know, we can do it better and how we can learn from each other and admit our mistakes, and kind of grow from there. So that's kind of the short history. I feel very blessed, just let me say, have been working on it for 10 years. I feel like it's incredible for anybody to stick with anything that long these days. And to have had the opportunity to do that for so long I feel very blessed to do it.
Yeah, well, that makes you a veteran and a pioneer. So 10 years ago would be 2004, and that's when blogging was just becoming sort of mainstream, but not really, but getting there. So that was kind of the forerunner of what we now know as social media, and it has evolved very rapidly. Twitter launched in 2006, and Facebook a little bit after that, and now it has become a part of our lifestyle, part of our culture, even overturning governments. And so how does all that fit within this context of church communication? If you would describe what church communication had been in terms of marketing and traditional media and maybe going beyond just the church bulletin, and then now how does it incorporate social media?
Yeah, well, I think before there was such an emphasis on kind of the professional communication that you'd be cranking out polished, finished materials that are either, you know, designed or written pieces, whether it's bulletins or newsletters, or kind of going a step up and doing, you know, postcards or kind of the sermon graphics where you're creating all kinds of stuff, or even going and doing billboards. It was a lot of kind of, you might create stuff for your congregation, but then to go outside, you'd have to be doing kind of old school marketing, you know, postcards and direct mailing, and a lot of that kind of stuff. And what social media did was suddenly you didn't have to have this kind of, you know, professional, expensive, budgeted level of communication where you had to, you know, doing a bulletin or even a direct mailing is complicated. You know, there's so many pieces involved, and you've got to pay for the design, and you got to pay to ship it out, you got to hire, you know, do a printer. There's just all these steps involved that are complicated, and, you know, not every church has the resources to do that. They don't have the, you know, the skills and the knowledge to do that. But social media kind of came along and said, you know, here with a few small tools and with some simple things, you can start communicating and connecting with people. You know, it started with blogs where pastors could just, you know, share what was on their heart. And it wasn't just limited to the people who show up on Sunday morning. You know, it would go out to whoever was reading, pretty much anywhere in the world. And there's kind of that blog revolution kind of in the early 2000s. And by 2004, we were definitely feeling that, you know, which is why we had the idea of let's do Church Marketing Sucks as a blog. And with social media, it just kind of, it kind of made that even easier because not everybody can blog, you know, not everybody's a writer. You know, what social media has given us kind of the 140 character little tidbits and the pictures and the video now. I mean, back in 2004, there was no YouTube. You know, you had nowhere to throw up videos or you could share stuff like that. I don't even remember if Flickr might have been around then, maybe just getting started. But yeah, you just didn't have this easy way to share images and video and just connect with a broad audience like that. It just wasn't possible. And social media kind of opened the doors for that. And with that, people of faith have always, you know, all throughout history, we've kind of stepped into these technological advances and said, how can we, you know, use this to share the gospel? How is this, you know, how is this part of our lives, and how can we take the gospel with us wherever we go?
Well, and as the Center for Church Communication had become a nonprofit to resource the churches, you've definitely been a leading voice to show examples and to draw from the knowledge of experts and people on the field, on church staff, developing church communication and social media. And internet has made it very easy to share, produce content very easily. Part of what I've noticed is the professionalization of this new role called church communication director. How have you seen that emerge, and how has that role changed because of social media?
Yeah, I think the communication director is definitely becoming a lot more common. As we're talking to people, that's kind of a common role in churches now, where I don't think it was 10 years ago. I mean, there definitely were communication directors at large churches 10 years ago, but it was not as widespread. And it was not, I don't think people aspired to, I'm going to be a communications director at a church. It just wasn't on people's radar. And I think that's definitely, as churches have kind of realized the need for communication, the importance of just having something as simple as a website, that's kind of a necessity for churches these days, and kind of having a presence just on social networks where they can connect with people. I think all of that is, it's a lot of work to do, and you kind of need to know how to, how to write and how to navigate the internet and how to do all these things. Those are kind of somewhat specialized skills, that most pastors don't have. A lot of them have the theological training, and they know that stuff really well, but they don't, they don't teach you how to build a website in seminary. They don't teach you how to use a Twitter account. They don't teach you how to use some of these tools. So a lot of pastors just don't know. And then you have a lot of the admin assistants at churches that are really the ones who make church communication happen. They're the ones doing the bulletins and the newsletters. And many of them don't have the technological skills either. Just simple things like how to put together a website, how to get hosting. People's eyes start to glaze over. That's a little too much.
In the past, all you had to learn was how to type, use a word processor, and print a bulletin.
Yeah.
And that's worked for decades.
Yeah. Yeah. And so many people, everybody uses a word processor, that was a common thing. And so you're right. That was definitely a standard skill. And now we're kind of in this world where that's not enough anymore. And you have all these other things you need to know how to do. And it gets complicated. So I think churches kind of as all of these tools have come together and all this has happened, churches have kind of grown and realized, we need somebody to be able to bring all these things together. And kind of this role of communications director has kind of come to be, and handling, the social media and the websites and just all the communication pieces, the strategy of it. A lot of times they kind of get tasked with the production elements. If your service has, a projector and you're doing the, sermon series and slides and that kind of stuff, there's just all these kind of elements that have kind of come together under this role.
Mm-hmm. So let's walk through that a little bit and help us to get our heads around all those moving pieces, because it has evolved and developed so quickly, and it makes a lot of people's heads spin. And over 300,000 churches in the United States, and many of them are smaller, and so they just have the pastor or maybe someone to help with the administration, and now they either one or both of them or with them volunteer has to take on this role of church communication, because digital communication is such a part of our culture. And if we're about sharing the gospel and making it accessible and available to people, we've got to be communicating it in a relevant way, the way the culture is communicating. So you wrapped all this up in a great book, a compilation from dozens of contributors, titled "Getting Started in Church Communication." You walk through three different elements: how to create communication, web, and job. Talk us through that.
Yeah, so this is kind of a new series of ebooks we're doing called "Getting Started in Church Communication." And a couple months back, we released I guess it was last month. It was pretty quick. We released kind of the first three volumes, they cover copy matters, which is all about writing and kind of communication with the written word. And then we did the websites 101. Which is kind of, or web basics, I guess what we called it, which is kind of websites, everything you need to know about websites. And it's much more from a kind of a big picture strategy perspective. We don't get into here's how to code HTML and here's how CSS, like eyes glazing over. just kind of the strategy of why you need a website, how to put it together, how to do some of this stuff. And then we did Landing a Job, which is kind of all about how to for the person who wants to be a communications director or wants to work in a church or wants to volunteer in a church, how do you get started? How do you make these connections? What do you need to know? Where do you go to learn this stuff? You know, there's not a church marketing degree you can earn anywhere. Not yet anyway. So kind of bringing that together. So they're available as separate eBooks, or you can get them all together in one eBook. And the plan is that we'll roll out more eBooks down the road and kind of continue to address this. How do we get started? You know, how do churches do this thing? You know, the churches you're talking about where they don't have a communications director, maybe they just got volunteers and they're growing and they're kind of, they know they need to do some of this stuff. How do they tackle some of these kind of beginner questions?
And can I make a recommendation for social media being one of the next?
That's interesting, because at this point, I don't know if we will, because there's so many books that talk about social media that are doing it right now. Meredith Gould has a great book out. Justin Wise just had a book come out. Is it Nils Smith?
Yes,
Nils Smith. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's got a great book out that came last year. There actually are a lot of resources out there for churches on social media. So at the moment, and you know, this might change 6 months down the road, but it's not on our immediate radar to do social media, just because there are some decent resources out there on social media, which is great. You know, while there's, you know, maybe not about how to land a job or how to write for church communication. So we kind of want to cover some things that aren't quite being covered.
Well, on the job aspect, describe how large of a church would need to be to have church communication be a formal part of their job description part-time, and then how large would it need to be ballpark to hire someone full-time?
That's a good question, and it's really going to depend on kind of how a church is set up, you know, how much money they have coming in to pay for staff, and how they set all that stuff up. Yeah, I'm not even sure I could say. I would guess churches under 500 people are probably going to be iffy as to whether they can do that or not. Maybe somebody part-time. Again, it kind of depends. You know, if you're a church where you're bringing in a lot of money and you know you need to pay for these things, then, you know, maybe smaller churches would do that. Or maybe they're just structured differently where they, you know, I don't know. But definitely as they get over 500 people, and 500 people is kind of the point where things just get more complicated. You've got multiple services. You've just got a lot going on, and communications becomes a problem. At smaller churches, my church is about 300, and we don't have a staff person. I'm kind of the volunteer who does it. You know, you can still kind of manage the communication. You know, our admin assistant does most of our bulletin and that kind of stuff, and you can still kind of keep track of things, and it's not too complicated. But once you start getting 500, 800, I mean, there's just a lot going on. There's a lot to communicate, and you almost need somebody who's paid to coordinate all this stuff, because otherwise, you know, I'm a volunteer. I let things slip through the cracks, and you just can't have that, you know, when you've got that many people and that much stuff going on. Kind of the whole thing has to keep running smoothly, so you need those people to come in. And definitely when you're talking the mega church is getting up to 1,000 people and more, it's almost a standard thing there that they have a communications director to tackle some of this stuff.
Okay, so the mega church bar is 2,000 people weekend attendance. Probably want to think seriously about church communication then.
Yeah, I'm not sure I know of a church with 2,000 people or more that doesn't have a communications person. At that point, they've got multiple services, multiple days. They've got so much going on. I don't know how they would do that without some communication help.
Okay, well, I think the unique angle that your Center for Church Communication can bring to the church social media conversation is the integration of multi-channel communication. Because for those of us that swim in the world of social media, we're not real conversant in the print aspect and the visual signage aspects and the media aspects. And I think the church communicator, the communication director, has that unique vantage point of how to make everything coherent instead of disjointed. And as we speak right now, we're in the age of developing mobile communication and responsive design. So talk to us about that.
Yeah, there's a lot of a lot of pieces to cover, and I feel like social media people get this. You know, social media people are doing Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and sometimes Pinterest and, you know, all these other elements, and YouTube and, you know, whatever else they have. So they kind of know how to manage multiple communications channels and multiple, you know, manage multiple things. What do I say here? What do I say there? How do I connect the two? How do I save the time? Cause I'm not going to go post it, you know, all those issues that social media people deal with. It's kind of the same thing, just on a bigger scale when you go to larger, you know, church communication in general, when you're dealing with bulletins and print pieces and newsletters and, you know, the website and, you know, whatever else you're doing, press releases or, you know, any outreach like that or any of that kind of stuff.
As you're in communication with professionals that do this, how do they manage all of that?
It's kind of the same way you do social media. You know, you come up with a plan for, you know, here's Twitter and here's, you know, I see some people will have a spreadsheet of all the different social media channels they have and how they communicate through those different channels. It's the same kind of thing. You do a spreadsheet of all your channels and you figure out, I mean, take an inventory of here's all the different things we do. We do an email newsletter. We do a website. We do social media. We want to get a postcard out. You know, we have a letter to our congregation. You know, whatever other elements you have, you figure out all these elements and you start, you know, we have our Sunday morning announcements. That's the big one that everybody wants to be in. You know, you kind of come up with a hierarchy, you know, where is the most important thing that goes to the most number of people. You know, the Sunday announcements are usually that number one spot, you know, figure out a hierarchy for all these different pieces, figure out, you know, how you want to communicate through all these different channels. You know, those announcements are important, but you can only do so many. You know, if you do 10 announcements on a Sunday, nobody listens. So you got to give some priority, you know, what's going to go to that Sunday announcement? What are the, you know, two or three things maybe that are most important? And then kind of filter it out from there and what goes in the bulletin, what goes in the email newsletter, what goes in social media, what goes on the website. And you kind of figure out how to lay it out through all those different channels. And it's not easy. it's complicated and there's a lot of, you know, there's all that thinking to, I mean, social media is somewhat easy cause you write a tweet and, you know, it takes you a few minutes to write a tweet and you're done, you know, where are you going to post it? And all these other communication channels, that's, you know, what are you creating? You're creating a postcard, there's design, there's writing involved. You know, the pastor needs to approve it. There's all these different steps involved. So it gets really complicated.
Yeah, it is very complicated. So that's why I wanted to pick your brains about how do you manage all that? And so you mentioned having a plan, having a priority hierarchy of your audiences, and then scheduling it out on some kind of a spreadsheet or a calendar. So those are good cornerstones of managing that. And then there's that's kind of the science part, and there's just the art of it, because when you have a full page to write, you have a lot more flexibility on how to write versus when you only have 140 characters.
And yeah, there's all kinds of different pieces there of how you're going to communicate it and what's the strategy and what's actually the content going to say of, you know, what am I going to say in these 500 words?
Yeah, and then with these multiple channels, then you've got to work on consistency of messaging so that the same message gets presented coherently on these different channels. Are you beginning to see the announcement in churches going away?
No, but I think churches are kind of getting better or figuring out how they know they need to get better. So they're figuring out how to get better at doing that and making it effective. I think the announcements have always been, they're just so effective because everybody's sitting there, you got a captive audience, everybody's listening. So here's the thing
for me, sometimes I'm in and out of services, just because I get distracted or
That can be hard too.
The attention's coming. And so if you miss that 90-second announcement, you've missed that communication. And perhaps the opportunity here is now to have communication redundancy.
Yeah. And that's
rather than relying on the verbal announcement up front.
Yes. And that's why this whole chart of these are all our different methods and why you have multiple communication methods. Because some people don't hear the announcement or they're, you know, I was out of town on Sunday. I don't know what they announced at church. But, you know, you have a bulletin, you have a website, you have all these other components where you can start filtering that message out into different areas so you can catch people. And I think that Sunday morning announcement is they're learning that they can't announce five things anymore. They can't have 10 minutes worth of this is happening, this is happening. You know, people just start to glaze over and get distracted. They're learning kind of that focus of if I announce one thing or, you know, maybe two things, people will remember it because there was only one. You know, I can do it in 30 seconds or a minute and just get that focus and make it much more effective. So I don't think they're going away just yet. Probably because there's that focus and there's that attention. But like you said, we're scattered these days. We're in and out and, you know, maybe not there on Sunday. And we're not hearing it. So there is that, that's where all those other channels become so much more important. And, you know, you need to have them there so that, you know, people can get them through other ways and not slip through the cracks. And those important things that you're announcing can still get out there.
All right. And thank you so much for having this conversation with me. Let's wrap up by getting a sneak peek, a preview of where things are going for Church Marketing Sucks and for Center for Church Communication.
Yes, we're doing a lot right now. We're really excited. Our books just came out beginning of March. I think we launched the Getting Started in Church Communication series. We're doing a lot more ebooks now. We did one on Church Communication Heroes in the fall, and so we're kind of going to want to roll out more. I don't have dates yet, but we'll do another round of Getting Started in Church Communication ebooks later this year. We're also launching a podcast. Right now, Dave Schrein is working on that, and we have sneak peek episodes that have been coming out over the past couple of weeks. And in May, we'll launch our full episodes of the podcast. So that's really exciting to see. We have the Certification Lab, which is an event in Atlanta coming up in June. So that's kind of it's a limited event for 50 people, and it's kind of an intensive two-day kind of communication camp type thing of here's what you need to know to get started, and kind of it's kind of geared towards the beginner, but it's just a lot of the stuff we've been talking about. How do you schedule all these things? How do you figure out what goes on the announcements? How do you manage all this stuff? Just a lot of stuff that you need to know getting started. So that's a big event we have coming up. And then in July is our 10-year anniversary of when Church Marketing Sucks started. The first blog post was in July of 2004. So I'm sure we'll be doing something with that and having a party of sorts. So there's just a lot going on right now. I'm just kind of really excited to have a lot of people helping us with it and just kind of, I don't know, the conversation on church communication is really kind of moving right now, and there's so many voices and so many ways to learn and grow and kind of help churches get better so that they don't suck anymore.
Well, I think you've made a dent in the universe of church communication, so thank you for being a part of that. I've gotten to connect with some of the several of the past executive directors, Cynthia Ware and Justin Wise, so you've been part of us. Legacy of very valuable things. So thank you for doing what you're doing, and look forward to the new podcast, Welcome to the World Podcasting. And we'll direct some people to the Special Labs event. Reserve a couple seats for our social media listeners, if you would.
Awesome. See what we can do.
Great.
Thanks for having me.
Great chatting with you, Kevin.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you, Kevin Hendricks, for joining me on the Social Media Church podcast. Check the show notes at socialmediachurch.net for how you can contact Kevin and the Center for Church Communications and get a copy of the resource that he mentioned, Getting Started in Church Communications. Valuable, valuable resources. And what I'd like to do in this episode and the next two episodes is share with you real-time event-based resources, of which there are not too many in the church communication and church social media world. And I was able to connect with three different people with valuable resources for you. So stay tuned on the next two episodes. And I hope some of you were really intrigued by this intensive certification lab that the Center for Church Communication is hosting in June, June 9th and 10th. At West Ridge Church, just outside of Atlanta, Georgia, and they are extending a $100 discount just for Social Media Church listeners. So when you register online, and again, the link is at socialmediachurch.net, use the discount code DJ. That's DJ as in disc jockey. And so use the name DJ as a discount code and you'll get $100 off their two-day intensive certification lab, which is specifically designed for those who are new to the role of church communicator. And you'll want to act fast on that discount code because it won't last forever. And there's only 50 seats available on the whole event. And I'm not free to disclose how many have registered already. But my note says that the registration code is valid right now until next Friday. And so this episode is being posted on April 21st. And next Friday on my calendar says is April 25th. It might be May 2nd if they mean next week's Friday, but don't wait. Register before April 25th and use the discount code DJ to get a $100 discount for the Center for Church Communication Intensive Certification Lab. So there you go. I hope you have a great time there learning how to do church communications, managing all the different moving pieces and become more effective at reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we'd certainly love to have you join the conversation here at Social Media Church. It's a conversation when you join in and it's not just a monologue. And you can do that through Twitter or Facebook or email or call in on the voicemail line or even text in. The phone number to text or call and leave your voicemail is 9493-543216. The number again, 9493-543216. If you want to connect on Twitter, Facebook, email, Google+, click on through at socialmediachurch.net and you'll find all the convenient buttons, icons right there on the upper right hand corner. And stay subscribed here to the Social Media Church podcast on iTunes or Stitcher or Android app, whichever you prefer to use. We make all those feeds widely available so you can stay connected to the conversation as well as joined in. Let me wrap up this episode of the Social Media Church podcast. Thank you again for listening. My name is DJ Chuang, and until next time, let's stay connected online.